Yeah, they ain't gonna like it. They ain't gonna like it. I be getting to the money. Everybody mad. Think I'm getting too much money. Everybody mad.
Same old nigga from the. Hey, welcome to another episode of XL Tribesmen. Yeah. I know, before y'all get started, I gotta get into a little ad break, you know. So, we here at XL Tribesmen strive to change the perception of the XL man. And one of the ways we do that is by advertising for brands that support the big and tall man. So, if you're an entrepreneur or a business that wants to promote, make sure you hit us at podcast@xltribe.com so we can assist you in all your needs. Now, for our listeners that want to support us, you can support us on our Patreon page or directly on the Anchor page where the podcast is hosted. That's another way you can support. On top of that, if you want to support in another kind of way, I myself, Kirkland, do take photos. I take really good ones, if I must say so myself. So if you want to get a photo shoot done, or a website build, or if you need some styling tips, I do assist with that as well. If you need that done, you can always email me at podcast@xltribe.com, and I can definitely assist you with those as well. Or you can go to the site xltribe.com/shop, and you can book any of my photography service, my styling services on there as well. So now let's get into the episode. So, hello everybody. Welcome to another episode of XL Tribesmen Podcast. So, I am here today with a special guest that I have known for almost, if not close to a decade. And it's been inspiring to watch his journey from a guy that lives in an apartment in Riverdale.
Oh, wow.
To like...
Oh, you took it back.
Yeah, way back. Yeah. I know, right? To now where he's like really, you know, he's really jumped off the diving board into the entrepreneur journey. And so today we want to, you know, dive into a bit of that and, you know, how is this new journey going and things like that. So without further ado, I think my guest should introduce himself so that he can tell you better than I can about himself. Go ahead.
What's going on, XL Tribe? My name is DJ Sir Daniel. Thank you for having me on the show. Oh, God. You did the...
Yeah,
okay, so what he just did was the stereotypical... when somebody finds out that you're a DJ, they pantomime a scratch in the air and make that noise with their mouth. Yeah, that's what it is.
What about that one?
Yeah. Now we're doing the air horns. All right. So I think we've covered all the stereotypes.
No, there's more. It's coming.
It's coming? Okay. Yeah. Save some for later.
Yes. So what I want to talk about today is your journey. How did you find yourself into the space where you now want to become... Well, not want to. Like, first of all, let's talk about when did you realize you wanted to be a DJ, and then when did you realize, oh shit, I'm good at this. I'm actually gonna pursue this.
Okay, when did I first get the bug? Well, way back in the olden days, when I was 13 years old, it literally was on my 13th birthday at a wedding. Where I literally just stood next to the DJ booth and I was transfixed and continued to watch him throughout the whole wedding reception and was just completely enamored by what he was doing, how he had control over the crowd, all the music that he was playing, and I just fell in love with the craft from that point. And growing up in New York, I had the privilege of listening to, you know, weekend hip hop shows like Mr. Magic.
Oh.
And Cool DJ Red Alert on Kiss FM, DJ Chuck Chill Out, all of those guys. So I grew up in the golden era of hip hop. So I was just every weekend in my bed, had the radio close to my ear, turned down, but, you know, had my finger on that pause delay so I could record a joint off the radio that I really liked.
Ooh.
And was just completely enamored by the craft.
Wait, you taking them back. You taking them back. First of all,
I know, it's before you was born, so.
Whatever. So at least I know it exists. So for my younger audience out there, what he's talking about is back in the day, your radio used to have a two-sided...
First of all, there was a thing called radio, because...
There's still radio. Everyone knows about the radio.
Barely, but I think maybe your audience may not even pay attention to what they call terrestrial radio as much as they did in the past. So yeah, they had these things called...
It's still a big thing.
Radio stations.
Radio pushes new music. It's still a thing.
I agree. It's still a thing to me. I still appreciate the craft and people that do it. I just think, I mean, I know it's starting to phase because of all the different platforms.
Well, it just became digital, but people still listen to their favorite stations on iHeartRadio. They just don't listen to it on a system in their home or in their car. They just listen to it on their phone. But they still listen to the radio. They still listen to FM.
It's just not appointment listening anymore. Like
You don't pay attention at 12 o'clock on Saturday.
On
your
Friday
favorite
night,
DJ going to be on. Yeah, you don't do that. No
there's no more appointment.
Not unless you live in New York. You still listen to the phone flex from 5 to 7. But, other than like those premium markets that still radio still heavily controls.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you aren't listening to radio like that if you live in those markets, but I think it's still a thing.
Okay.
So you're listening to these to your favorite DJs, have the boombox to your ear, and so this is around what age? You said 13.
I was 13. This was I don't care. This was back in 1988. Yes, this was in the 80s. I am a relic from the 80s, indeed.
But you know, I ain't gonna talk about that. But so you fell in love with this art form called DJing. And when was the first time you practiced, like, hey, I'm gonna be a DJ, whether it was free or paid or whatever the case was? What was the first time you had the ability to exercise the your talent of being a DJ?
Oh, that's simple. My very first gig was in 2010.
Wait, so let's give you a timeline. So from 88 to 2010, why did it take you that many years to...
So here's the funny thing. A lot of time in your lives, unless you have somebody who is championing your talents and providing you opportunities, or you provide your own opportunities to exercise your talents, sometimes we push them to the side. If there's somebody, if life is telling you, oh, that doesn't make sense, you need to make sure you keep your head in the books, go to school, get a job.
Okay.
And as you know, I have a Guyanese parent. Mm-hmm. I have a West Indian parent. And when I told her I wanted to be a DJ?
How would that?
How you mean? It's what
how you does pay?
Yeah, exactly. How is that exactly? How's that gonna pay? You better keep your head in them books, that kind of thing. So it was something I, kept in the back of my mind. I always find myself around DJs and around music as an intern for record labels. In college.
Snap. Wait a minute. Who?
And, hanging out at radio stations. I actually got a job at a radio station back in the day, interning, and then got a job. And so I was always around the craft. I just never actually did it. The very first time that I got a chance to practice my craft in front of people was in 2010 at the Big Dog's first annual white party.
Oh, snap. That was the first time?
That was the very first time. I didn't even have a traditional setup. I had a controller and a laptop. I didn't know anything about crowd control. I didn't know anything about build-up. I just was playing stuff that I thought was dope and trying to make it mix and blend and sound well.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, and it was a learning experience, and ever since then, I never looked back. I kept going.
Okay, so 2010 was the first time you exercised, so that was 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been spinning, mixing for different parties, different events for the last 8 years.
Correct.
What would you say has been the biggest takeaway in the 8 years? Or maybe a better question would be, what would be something you would tell your 8-year-old younger self about DJing that you know now?
So looking back, I would definitely tell myself, hey, listen, it's not about you and you trying to flex your music knowledge. It's
about... Yeah, because you got some, like, serious music skills.
Right. Well, thank you. And so what happens is sometimes we get in our head. I get in my head,
mm-hmm.
and I start, you know, trying to pull out stuff that, you know, I think sounds really good, but is not necessarily making the people dance. And so I would tell myself, this is your job right now is to make people dance or to make them happy or to make this a party atmosphere, not for you to go down memory lane or for you to, you know, try and make people digest something that you think is really dope that they have no idea about. So that is something I would definitely tell myself, and not to take things personally, because there was, I really, in the beginning, I was taking a lot of stuff personally. Somebody ran up to me in the booth and said something, I took it as a personal attack.
Like, why are you playing that?
Or, you know, showing me their cell phone to give me a suggestion of something to play. So, yeah, I would tell...
Oh, you used to take that personally?
Oh,
wait,
yeah.
Do DJs take that personally, or is it just like...
No, PSA folks, DJs take that extremely personally. We really, running up to the booth and showing us a song on your phone, or, you know, pulling on our pant leg or tapping us while we're in the middle of the set is really not helpful. I think you're doing yourself a disservice. You're taking yourself out of the element of having fun and enjoying the moment and trying to control. I know it's hard because you're in control of everything right now. The platforms that you have, your cell phones, everything is putting you in control of how you feel and what you listen to at the moment. But when you go to an event, you go to a party, the person that is in control of the atmosphere is the DJ. And so at that time, we ask that you relinquish that control to us and allow us to take control of the party and allow us to curate the mood that you're feeling right now. Trust me, we've studied it, we've practiced it, we know what we're doing. So I implore you to please put your trust and your faith in the DJ. We don't need suggestions all the time. You know, every now and then somebody might remind me of a song and I'll be like, oh, you know what? That's actually a good idea. And I might run with it. But for the most part, we kind of got this in control, guys.
So just
fall back and enjoy it.
Enjoy what's happening.
I don't think people are allowing themselves the opportunity to enjoy moments anymore. You know, we're so engulfed and so into our phones right now that we're not enjoying the moment. Now, I do see moments on Instagram where people, they let themselves go and they lose it and they get into the music, and that's a magical moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the moments that DJs live for.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see enough of it.
Oh, Lord. You know, sometimes it feels like... I don't know if it's me getting older. Sometimes I have to check my...
I'm just playing.
You know what? Keep my emotes. Sometimes I have to check myself. I'm not sure if it's me getting old or the fact that music is changing. But one thing I can definitely say is, like, I feel like the, like, if any... You guys need to experience a DJ Sir Daniel party, first of all. I think the one thing that I always love is that every time you spin, I'm always reminded of the best parts of my 20s, where I danced for, hours and didn't even know hours had passed.
And he's not exaggerating because I've witnessed him.
It's the best thing ever when the lights come on and you be like, what?
Oh, it's time
to go. 3 o'clock already? I want some more. Like that feeling, like you can dance until the sun comes up. I miss that. And I feel like now when I go to clubs, it's like, I don't know. It feels very pretentious to me. Like everyone's like, oh, I'm here only to scout out. I'm not here to enjoy myself. And that feeling to me is like, I don't know if it's because I'm getting old, I'm noticing it more, or if it's because I'm getting old, everyone else is getting old, so they're changing too. But whatever the landscape is, can we go back to house party days? Because that's what I want.
I do think that there's kind of a movement towards that now. You're seeing a lot more day parties. You're seeing a lot more, what they used to call bashments, you know, in the
bashment party,
backyards or basements or whatever. Because people do want to find. Well, I think people, especially in my age group, want to experience that, and they don't necessarily want to go to a club.
So is that why there's so? You know, we was just talking about that yesterday. That here in Atlanta, it seems like there are a lot more kickbacks,
quote unquote,
than there used to be. So I'm guessing because people want that experience again.
Mm-hmm. That's it. People want nostalgia.
Yes, nostalgia is in.
And they want to have a good time. They don't want to feel like they had to get dressed to the nines. You know, people want to be comfortable because we're so used to, at all times, doing stuff for the gram or looking good for the gram. And when I say the gram, I'm not even necessarily just talking more about Instagram, but meaning we're doing it for other people and for other people's
approval.
Approval, exactly. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, just feeling comfortable and going for what you know. And that means having a good time. That means having a good time. Oh, to have a camera in here when that happens.
Nope, you can't see that. So, okay, so that feels a lot like why the energy feels like it's changing. So basically, what I'm getting from this is that I need to start finding people who are throwing these backyard, basement, bashment, kickback party, because I still want to dance. But it just doesn't feel like everyone else wants to dance.
Or you throw it yourself.
I was avoiding that at all costs.
Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you just have to take matters into your own hands.
But your whole
existence is based on taking control and creating things, right? That's who you are.
True.
That's why XL Tribe is here.
That's true. Are you trying to put a seed, a bug in my ear?
You know, if I have planted something, that's
feel fine. Like that's what you're trying to do. I don't know.
That's okay.
I've been considering it, but you know, there's a lot of logistics that go into it, and plus, I feel like I know people always say you shouldn't care what people think, but I always feel like that's a lie because telling people that shit is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
People care what people think.
Right. Well, I mean, you want to, if you're going to present something and put your name on it, you want to put your best foot forward, definitely.
And so if I were to do that, I would need a budget.
Please.
Because I'm not trying to throw no
janky party. No,
right. I want to make sure that, number one, I can
pay a DJ.
Pay the DJ. Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, pay the DJ.
Pay
your invoice, all of that, Cash App, PayPal, make it happen.
You see? That's why we need a budget. Then I need to pay my chef, Quan, to cook y'all good food. Then I need to get a mixologist in here so we not just serving you
you know, vodka and cranberry. We got somebody in here, you know, like mixing it up, giving you a little experience, you know. Mm-hmm. I need someone to come and, you know, fill the decor out. So when you come in, it's a hashtag mood in here, you know. So like for me, to throw something, I would need a budget for real.
I got you.
And so maybe that's why I haven't done it, because I just feel like.
Because you said the key word, you want to provide an experience, mm-hmm. not just a party. You want to provide an experience because people remember what? How you made them feel.
They always remember that. Yep. You always, like, I mean, like, here in Atlanta, there's always events happening. And, like, I can still remember to this day the white party that we did at the Marriott. I remember what hotel it was, but it was at a hotel.
Oh, it was during the Labor Day weekend?
Yes.
Oh, that was the, it was Omni? The Crown, or, it's not the Crown anymore.
It changed its name, but it's that hotel that's Midtown, at the Crown. Midtown
Atlanta, yes.
That, I can still remember that white party to today.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Because how we danced. All night.
A sea of people in white. And as much as I hated playing it, playing the wobble always gets people on the floor.
Why you hate the wobble?
I didn't. At the time, still is just not one of my favorite songs, but I understand. I get it. I understand line dances are very important, especially to the black community. Mm-hmm. I believe line dances have roots that trace back to the motherland, and I want to do some research on that, yes.
Because the way that it gets people excited is like no other.
Exactly. And then on top of that, line dances a lot of times are the only opportunities for a lot of people who don't have the confidence to get out on the floor but on their own, or to ask somebody to dance with them. It gives them the confidence to get out there because it's a communal thing. So that's why they're
I never thought about that.
They're very important to the structure of a black experience, a black party. And, you know, other people have caught on to it. You know, the wobble came out, close to a decade ago?
Yep.
And you see now other people are catching on to it decades later, and it's their new favorite thing.
Or, it's interesting, this part always gets me. I'm always interested to know, sometimes you see people, they be like, oh, I don't know how to do the wobble. And I'm like, how?
Well, your personal coordination has a lot to do with it. And some people are, whether they know it or not, they're stubborn to instructions. So there's a lot of things that can affect how you wobble or cha-cha or how you don't.
I feel like instructional dances are like the best ever.
They are they definitely have their place in pop music, and instructional dances are. They're actually, I think, the easiest way to get a hit, if you ask me. From a DJ's perspective, if you are an artist out there and you're putting together a song, sometimes it could be something really simple, but if you're telling people what to do, you'll be surprised they'll do it. Especially when you make it repetitive and it gets in their heads, they will do it, and that's the easiest way for you to gain an audience.
Here's something I noticed, though. Mm-hmm. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I think if I was an artist, I wouldn't want to do one of those.
Okay.
Because I think that every time someone does an instructional dance, I feel like they only have one or two hits.
I mean, that's not far from the truth, but it's not always the case. I think it depends on you as an artist on what you have to say. Or how much of, or what your point of view is. I think if you come into it strictly with the notion of I need to make a record and I want to get paid and I want to be famous, then yes, you are going to have a one hit. You are going to be a one hit wonder. But if you have a point of view, if you practice,
so it won't be your first correct record, because I feel like if that's your first record, it's probably going to be your last. So you mean it has to be like somewhere in the catalog?
It can be, and you know what? Sometimes there are people who have awesome music outside of their one hit, But unfortunately, the audience at large is not going to pay attention to anything else. What? That happens all the time. It's a gift and a curse.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
I want to talk about your fashion. Because
my
one of the
fashion.
Yeah.
I feel like Miss Charlene now. You think I'm fashionable?
Yes. So, one of the things I want to talk about is I've watched you for a decade, and one thing I've watched is your evolution as a man. And I think what's so intriguing is how your style to me has really kind of settled in this really comfortable place where it doesn't look like what I find, it's funny because I even think about this to myself, like what kind of guy I'm going to be when I get older. And I feel like I don't want to be that guy where when I get into my 40s, I'm still trying to dress like I'm 21.
Right.
And I feel like you have mastered that. I'm a grown ass man with a grown ass man look. So talk about your evolution into this. Like, I look like a grown man that's comfortable at whatever age he is, not trying to be younger, to be fresh or hip or whatever. Talk about that.
Well, first of all, thank you. I didn't even realize that I had a I'm doing air quotes right now, a style, or, you know.
You didn't realize you had a style?
But you're correct. I didn't want to be the old dude in the club that's, you know, walking around wearing an extra long tee,
mm-hmm.
and a do-rag to match my extra long tee and my sneakers. I didn't want to be that guy. So I pay attention to what's trendy and what's now and what the kids are wearing and whatnot. But I have to, there's two factors. Yes, I factor in my age. And I factor in what kind of weight and shape I'm at in this particular time of my life. And it has to fit well.
Mm-hmm.
It has to look good. I can't be sloppy. I'm a big dude. I am 6'3", something pounds. I can't be sloppy. I find that things, if it's too big, it's going to make me look bigger. And if it's
let's we gotta dive in on
that.
You
wanna unpack that?
Yeah. Because I want us big guys to understand that again.
If it's too big, it's gonna make you look bigger.
Come on.
It's gonna make you look wider, and you have to understand what your proportions are. Like if you have a short torso and long legs, you gotta dress for that. If you are short and boxy and you don't have a neck, what you might want to do is you might want to invest in more button downs and keep those first three buttons unbuttoned so we can see your neck. I kept going to, like, you know what, you're always wearing crew neck t-shirts, find some v-neck t-shirts, things that help to elongate you,
mm-hmm.
and open you up so that you don't look so constricted.
Mm-hmm.
So
important.
And, you know, and things are, nowadays things are tighter. I give it up I give it up to the young people
that
feel comfortable wearing, you know, things that are really fitted or tight to me. And, you know, if you have a nice shape, even if you're chunky, if you have a nice shape, you can get away with it, I think. But I think you have to really consider what your shape looks like in those tight clothes, because I hate, you know, you don't want to walk around looking like a bag of wet laundry all day. You don't. Just because, and you know, the old adage is true, just because they make it in your size doesn't mean it's for you. So I just keep those things in mind. I look at myself. I put on something and I look at it in a full length mirror before I go out. Sometimes I might buy the thing and go home and look at myself and check it out, and I have an idea of what I'm going to wear with it. Things that I stay away from.
Mm-hmm.
I stay away from.
What do you stay away from?
I stay away from things that have a lot of logos. Like, I know that's popular.
Yes, I agree that too. First of all,
subtle.
Listen, I'm an influencer. You ain't paying me.
You know,
you can't have it all over.
Like. But there's nothing wrong with it. I know, but for me, I need something a little more subtle, classic. Because when I pay
something that I can wear
over and over again, exactly. Something, if I'm paying money for it, if I'm putting down good money for it, I want to be able to wear it, not just for this season, but for the seasons to come.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very important. Very, very.
Those are things that I pay attention to, and you know it. And thank you again for, I guess, recognizing that I do pay attention to those things.
Mm-hmm. You know, friends or whatever. I can definitely, you know.
Now, I love a good sneaker. Don't
get me wrong. Yeah, but even today, like how you paired your sneaker, you have one of these Puma running jogging sneakers.
Right.
That you brought out, like, the peach color in them with your shorts and how it kind of ties in
with the
your polka dot shirt that has a light red, almost peach color. Because you guys understand, I try to tell guys this all the time, especially when it comes to colors and things, because I know a lot of us big guys are afraid of color. But I think it's important to understand color. When your eye, for some reason, I don't know why, but I've studied this much about fashion. Mm-hmm. When you look from shoe to head, by the time you get from the shoe to the head, if the color is in the same family, it will look like the same color to you.
That's true.
So... you don't have to feel like you have to match.
No, to matchy.
Right. You don't have to match all your colors.
But, you know, speaking of that, and I'm glad you brought that up. I was on my way over here when I was, you know, pulling out something to wear.
Oh, you went through the clock?
You know, because I know you run around with a camera. I know there's all these cameras all the time, mm-hmm. So I have to be careful. To be camera ready.
Yesterday was
this
like 12 cameras in here.
See what I'm saying? But I think it's very important. Prints. If we're going to do prints, especially if they're big prints and big, prints, whatever kind of, even logos, prints and logos, colorful, all of that. I think I'm very careful about how much I put on because. Like, say what I'm wearing today, it's polka dots, but they're small polka dots.
But so you wouldn't wear big polka dots?
I would, but I would have to have something to break it up.
Well, like, you have a solid color shorts.
Right. Or if it was like, if this was a really loud print that I had on top, some prints make you look bigger. They might accentuate places that you're trying to make look smaller. Like if you have a midsection, you got a gut. And you're not trying to bring attention to that. Sometimes a print, especially the way it's designed, may make it look bigger. Like colors make things look bigger. Prints and colors, like if you want to do a bright neon, or if you want to do a lighter color, sometimes those things tend to make you look bigger. You can still wear those, but I think they have to be broken up. Like if I'm going to put on a lime green shirt, which I don't recommend to anybody. But if I'm going to put on a lime green shirt...
Something wrong with lime green shirts, y'all.
I'm going to throw on... I'm going to put on something to break that up. Whether it's a denim shirt over it or a jacket. Something to break... So it doesn't... I can still have a line, but you'll still get that pop of color. But I'm controlling my line. I'm controlling the... how much of this midsection you're going to see. Because to me, when you're a big guy, it's also about learning how to camouflage and to accentuate what you want to accentuate and camouflage what you need to camouflage. So I think that's important as well.
Okay. I can understand that concept. I mean, I think regardless of however you think, because I'm the opposite. I'm completely bold. I'll jump out the river with whatever.
Yes, you are. But you have the shape for it. You do. You have the shape for it. You're not... You're a big guy, but you're not, like, super big or super, you know, you're not sloppy or anything. yes, you got the tummy and whatnot. However, you're compact. I don't know how else to explain it, but there's people that are able to, that have the shape to carry off stuff, even if they're bigger, and some don't.
Okay, I mean, yeah, but even in that, even how differently how you shaped, something I've noticed in the journey is, even if someone doesn't have the, because I'm learning this too now, there's become this standard. So even being a big guy, there's a standard now. So at first, when I first got into the whole big guy plus men, you know, big and tall, there was just a bunch of us trying to like figure out what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Now, 2.5, almost 3 years later, what it feels like is we've gained a standard, and the standard big guy, he's like a 38-40. He has a little stomach, mm-hmm. but he's a little bit more fit all around. Even if he doesn't have muscles, but everything's a lot tighter, a lot more lifted together. Up. Yeah, lifted up, not sagging, or the stomach isn't...
rolls.
Right, it isn't a double stomach. Yeah. It's just a single stomach. I feel like we've gained a standard. And one thing I can say about that is I don't think I like the concept that we have a standard now, because I've seen guys that if you were to look at them 10 years ago, you would say, oh, they're big, or they're too big. But now looking at them, I'm like, damn, I can't even pull that off. You look real good. Like, so I really feel like a part of that is not even so much how your body is built, but how much confidence you bring to the outfit. Because I've seen, and mm-hmm. me, like, if you guys know me personally, you know my style is all the way out there. And even I've seen guys more out there than me, and I'm like, I don't want to wear that. But I'm not that I'm afraid of it, but... Uh-huh.
Confidence definitely has a role to play in it.
It plays a key. And
because if you don't have the attitude and the confidence to pull off something, then the outfit is going to be wearing you. You're not going to be wearing the outfit.
And that's what I was trying to get across, that the outfit's going to be wearing you.
And at the bottom, and at the base of that is being comfortable. I think you have to feel comfortable in what you're wearing. Mm-hmm. Like, if the one thing I hate, and back me up on this, y'all know, you see it all the time, is somebody pulling down on their shirt or whatever, or fixing, you know, and adjusting all night long, and you're not comfortable. If you gotta be pulling at it and adjusting at it, you're not comfortable. If it's riding up between your thighs and you have to keep pulling it out all night long, it is not comfortable. You are not comfortable.
Maybe they try to get comfortable with wearing shorter shorts, because usually that's the time where you have to.
Sometimes it's not even shorter shorts. Sometimes it can just be tight. You know.
Okay. True that. Well, I think what I kind of wanted to get to is like the evolution of DJ Sir Daniel. And I think one thing I can say is, like, I want y'all to understand this. He told y'all he was 13 in 88. You can do the math. One thing I want to tell you guys is that one thing I feel so strongly about is this thing that so many, what I get a lot of in my DMs or my email, is guys saying how they feel like they're too old to do certain things. And I want to get across the concept that you are never, never too old to do anything. And the fact that he's had this dream since he was 13 and just started pursuing it in 2010, and even now it's still pursuing it even harder than before. The concept that I'm trying to get across is, guys, do not tell me you're too old to do anything. As long as you have breath in your body, you can walk, you can breathe, you can talk, you can accomplish whatever you want to accomplish. Especially when it comes to fashion. I feel like a lot of us, maybe we haven't always been fashionable because we either don't have the fashion sense, or we never had the resources to be fashionable, whether that be money or access to the clothes that we have now, because there's not a more abundance of big and tall clothes.
And they haven't always made it affordable either.
Well, that's true. Because I be, you know, that part is true.
My friend is Clarence. You know Clarence?
I know Clarence too.
I'm very good friends with Clarence.
Yes, I'm getting stuff off to be rich or whatever. But so now that we have these outlets, I wanted to challenge you guys to take a fashion risk that you've always want to take. A part of me feels like when I see people wearing shorts, but they're so long that they're almost
pants.
I challenge you guys to find a
tailor.
Not a tailor. Tailor's expensive. Actually, I need to find one of those, actually. So, a 10 or 12-inch inseam. I dare you to find one of those and try that on. A 10-inch inseam is going to fall pretty much at your knee or above your knee, depending on how tall you are. And then 12-inch is going to give you, like, either at the kneecap or right under the kneecap.
Can I interject?
Mm-hmm.
I will see your shorter length and raise you cargo pockets. Let them go.
Oh.
Please let those cargo pockets go. What I was referring to earlier, not only are things that are too big make you bigger, but anything like cargo pockets.
They add more width to you.
Stop it with the cargo pockets.
And they have new cargo shorts, actually. So if you're in love with cargo shorts and you just can't let them go, there are new cargo shorts that do not have that extended, like,
bulky
ruffle.
Velcro,
like,
opening.
Basically, they have the ones that are slim fitting to the pants, so they don't extend, but they still have the pocket. So if you're in love with cargo shorts and you can't let them go, there are new options for you. You don't have to wear those. Like, it's like the cargo, it's like the pants are hanging off 3 inches on each side just because of the pockets. Yeah, let that go. Let it go. Just let it go. So, I think in this interview, I'd like for you, I love podcasts, and one of my favorite podcasts is called How I Built This. Mm-hmm. And a question he always asks at the end of the interview is, he always asks how much of where you are is contributed to luck or chance and how much of it contributed to hard work.
I would say there's definitely an even exchange, maybe more so on the work side.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I made a post last night. There's a combination of the working hard plus the luck. And what I consider luck is also manifesting and putting out intentions in the universe to see those things happen and putting out the vibration that you want those things to come to your life. So if you want to call that luck, that's what I consider luck. But so Kirkland alluded to the fact that I became an unwilling entrepreneur when I got laid off earlier this year and had to make some adjustments. But I also told someone else that I think I kind of manifested me getting laid off because I was always wanting to do more with my craft. Mm-hmm. And wanting to put more time and energy into my craft, because by the time I would get home, I would be too tired to practice my craft, which is not an excuse, but you know, sometimes
I got a saying for that. If you're gonna work for someone for 8 hours, how do you not come home and put at least half of that into your own craft?
And so then I realized I was also getting frustrated because opportunities weren't coming my way. Then it dawned on me, well, maybe opportunities aren't coming your way because you're not ready. That's true. So if part of becoming ready is practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So
what I noticed that you practice. It seems like 2 to 3 times a week now.
It's more than that. Like, I don't record everything. I don't record all my practice sessions as far as on videos and whatnot. So the practice effort definitely stepped up. And then I noticed that I put myself out more. I began networking more. I asked for a tribe of like-minded individuals who were actually doing what I want to do to come into my life. And lo and behold, they're here. And they're opening me to new opportunities, which you will soon see more collaborations coming in the future. And so I've also learned to, stretch myself. Like, they're two young ladies, that the Eldorado Hotties. They are record dealers, and they are vinyl enthusiasts, and they also DJ.
I noticed you've been buying a lot of vinyls lately.
Exactly. I DJed backwards. I got into the craft backwards. I started with controllers and worked my way to vinyl. Because I wanted to learn all aspects of the craft, and that included vinyl. Mm-hmm. And so running into these ladies, Peppermint Gaddy and Lady Marauder, opened me up to vinyl, and they put me on one of their platforms for my very first vinyl gig. And when I tell you, I was nervous about it because I had never gone and played vinyl in front of people.
Mm-hmm. You've always done it
home or whatever, but it was something that a fear that I faced, and it was the most exhilarating thing that I've ever actually done. And so I never understood what people say, whatever you're afraid of, that's the thing you need to do. And I did it, and I'm so happy that I did.
Because that's why you're afraid of it, because it's something you're supposed to do.
And so what happened from there on out is that now that's opened me up to other opportunities. So it's so important for people that, for me personally, we were talking about whether it's talent, luck, or whatever. It's all of those things. It's talent, it's, how much time you're willing to put into things. It's knowing when something is working and when something is not working. And changing the course, it's all of those things. And it's not one path for everybody. Everybody's path is going to be completely different. So those are the things I'm learning on a daily basis. And so, I hope I answered the question.
Yeah, you did. Okay. I mean, because I always feel like hard work, continuous hard work, will put you in the place where luck meets you, or what people say is luck. And it's just because you've done the work, it puts you in the room with the people that can change your life.
Exactly.
And that's what people call luck. But it's truly just your hard work and your determination led you to this place where now the person who can put you on, or someone who can make you a resident DJ at a club, or they can hire you at a radio station, or whatever it is you're truly looking to pursue in DJing, all it is continuing to do the hard work and you get there. So I think you did answer the question.
And I think, I have to say this, you're a walking testament to that. Because as Kirkland said, we met almost a decade ago. He was but a child when I met him. He was what, 12 years old when I met him? And
basically.
And, was a wild child. I mean, the Kirkland you see now is not the person I met back then. But talk about an evolution. And you have become so serious about what you do, and I see the progress, and I'm like, you know what? Kirkland has really done the work, and I am so proud of you. I tell you this all the time, but I'm very proud of you, and I'm proud of what you've accomplished, and I know it's going to go further, but Kirkland has done the work. If you guys see him, and you're wondering, well, how did he get this, and how is he going to this place, and how is he invited to this event, it's because he has put in the hours. He has walked the yards. He has done what it takes. Yes, you've seen him dropping it low and popping it on the dance floor, but he was working at the same time. So I wanted to put that on public record that I admire your hustle and I see you.
I'm trying. I think I learned that from my Jamaican mama and daddy.
Well, you know, we got 10 jobs.
So. Right. Not two, not three, but 10.
10 jobs.
Basically. Well, I would love to thank you all for listening to this episode. If you got this far, you a champion, because I know it'd be a struggle sometimes. But thank you so much, guys, for listening to another episode of XL Travel.
Oh, be sure to follow me.
At DJ Sergano. Do your thing.
The handle is DJ Sir S-I-R Daniel everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, all of that. DJ Sir Daniel. And my website is thesirdaniel.com. Again, that's thesirdaniel.com. I'm sure Kirkland will have this posted.
I will put it in the show notes for you guys to just click on it. I know it'd be hard to sometimes you be driving, so I'll make sure I put it in the show notes. You know, if you're listening on iTunes podcast, you just got to swipe it up.
And we made it through the podcast, and we made it through our glasses of...
I've been finished. He just now finishing his drink.
Well, you know, I had to pace myself.
PS4. Thank you guys for listening. Peace out.
Peace.